All right, before we get into 1 Corinthians, just this morning was an important morning as we got to bring and invite visitors, people that are around us that we rub shoulders with. We advertised it as a top five opening, but some of you just had a burden for people around you that you knew, and they were able to come this morning. And I know there were some probably that were not able to come. I invited a host of people that weren't able to come or didn't come, and we just keep trying. We just keep going, and we keep inviting, and don't give up on that. And who knows when we'll receive the blessing from that if we continue on with that. But some of you did have somebody that comes, and if you did, I'm not going to ask you to, you don't have to say anything, but I just wonder if you did have somebody and you want to say something, maybe your connection and just maybe a prayer request on how, you know, hopefully they enjoyed themselves this morning, but just anybody want to share anything concerning the person that you brought that we just, and how, it's just to help us to know how to pray for them or whatever. You know, maybe some of us didn't get to meet your guest, but how can we pray for you? Again, you don't need to feel at all like you need to say anything. I'm not making you do that, but just, I just thought tonight before we move on, we just put such a big emphasis on that. How can we help you pray for people that you burden for? Anybody like that this evening have something that you want to share? Anybody at all? It's good to have your guests here with us. So grateful. Got to meet a number of those people. Anybody at all want to share anything? Yeah, saying it with a J, okay? Yolanda. Yeah, we got to listen to her testimony at the table, and she could be, but I wasn't convinced either, just with what she said, and a lot of spiritual, but let's really pray. She's not working at the House of Tacos anymore, so you go visit her all you want to. She's not going to be there, but let's just pray for Yolanda in her life, that God would help. She says that she's going to come back. We'll see with that, but let's really pray that the Holy Spirit would work in her heart and life. With that. Good. Anybody else? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Would you turn there? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's finally arrived, what you've been waiting for. The judgment of the pastor. That's what I've entitled it tonight. The judgment of the pastor. You say, what is pastor going to give us tonight? The judgment of the pastor. The drum roll, and what's pastor going to share about this tonight? Oh, it's going to probably be not what you think, but it's an area that we need to understand. And I will say this isn't just for me. It is for me, but it's also for you. I don't believe that there's any place in the Bible that's not for all believers. I really don't. I do not believe that there's a place that says, all right, everybody off limits, this is just to them. I really believe that there's application for everybody at all times in every passage of Scripture for us to learn. So never, ever get to a place where you take off and say, oh, this is not for me. And I've done it many times. Have you done that before? I've done it many, many times where the preacher will get up and share what it is, and you're like, whew, this one isn't for me. I can coast, you know, or listen up because this one's for you. Or you know, we've all done that. Or we think of somebody in the congregation, oh, they need this. They need this. And you know what we do? We pass up some tremendous things that God wants to teach us. I would suggest to you that this is some warning and admonition of what a pastor ought to do. But here Paul is teaching the people. So there's something for you to learn. And I know there is because I'm going to make some applications for you. And it's not just my wild ideas to get off of me and onto you. It is right there. We need to be warned about this. And so let's look at this, this passage. And then we're just going to be very practical tonight with this passage. And I hope that you're learning. I hope that when you come, my prayer is that I could be a pastor that makes the truth of God's word that maybe you have a hard time understanding. I really want to put it on ground level so that you can walk away and say, okay, that's what the passage means. And this is how I can get help. This is what I need to do with it. That's one of the reasons why we have Discovery Bible Studies. Do you realize that Discovery Bible Studies were never meant to get deep into the Scripture. They were meant to give us the truth and to make some application where we're at so that we can go home and we can do it and to provide some accountability. That's where even preaching, I hate to say preaching falls short, because I don't believe preaching necessarily falls short, but there's an advantage in Discovery Bible Studies because there's a lot of accountability. You see, here in preaching, I give it to you, and then it's kind of like we never hear about it anymore. Nobody asks you about it. Nobody confronts you about it. Discovery Bible Studies is geared towards where we keep talking to each other about, okay, so what are you learning and how are you applying that this week? And by the way, if we're lacking in that in Discovery Bible Studies, we need to pick it up again. We need to have accountability. And that is taken. I can't bring a whip and force you to do it. We've got to do it. We've got to generate that because of a desire to learn and a desire to help each other out. I believe, everybody listen to this. I believe that the biggest ministry that can happen in this place is not from the pastor to the people. I believe it's the people to the people that gets the biggest ministry in this church. And I believe it with all my heart. I believe that my job is to give you tools to do the work of the ministry, but it is the people's job to do the work of the ministry. I believe the greatest discipleship, the greatest outreach, the greatest everything is when God's people are helping each other people out Sunday morning in DBS, but all through the week, through next Sunday morning, day in and day out, being there. I believe that you can accomplish more than the pastor talking to somebody else, but you as a layperson, as a co-layperson, helping each other out, there's no doubt in my mind, that's where the biggest growth is going to be. Hands down. I believe it with all of my heart. And that's why, if there's any falling short of a time, corporate time together, it's because there's not a lot of accountability. Now, we can turn that into it. Honestly, if we would take what we learn and we would do the same thing and encourage each other outside of this building, it can have just as much potential in a different way. But that is a special time that we get to connect and be, I hope, close as a group of ladies, a group of men, a group of teens that are striving together to learn truth on a not super deep level, practicing it in our day and sharing it with other people. Anyway, for tonight, again, my prayer every time we preach is that we can make it practical. So I hope that I can help you with 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're really going to focus on verses 3 and 4 this evening. And so let's get into it. Let me read it, and then we're going to start to pick it apart. But with me, now listen, Paul is speaking here. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Let me read that one more time. As I read it, I'm going to read it slower. I want you to try to grasp everything that you can as I read it in your understanding, and then I'll try to help you. But with me, Paul says, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Now, here Paul's thoughts concerning the congregation's judgment of him. And here he says, did you catch that? But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Paul says concerning their judgment. Okay, now let's put this very practical. So the congregation's judgment of him and how he was conducting himself in the ministry. His preaching ministry, his visiting ministry, his praying ministry, his leadership ministry, his administrative ministry, his whatever ministry, he says it is a small thing about what he cared about, their judgment of him. Now, on the surface, that's kind of a little bit like, really? You know, it's almost like a slap in the face. He's saying, like, it's not a big deal to me what you think of me. Now, that's interesting. But he's making a good point. You know, one of the reasons why it's hard to be a pastor, and I'm not putting anything to pity me, Because a lot of us care too much about what other people think. If there is one, and there's a lot. By the way, there's a lot of things you can pray for me about. I need a lot of prayer. I need a lot of prayer. If you could pray for something for me, just because it's what we're learning, is you need to pray that I not care so much about what other people think of me. Because it goes both ways. And in fact, here, I'm going to jump ahead of myself if I start to make an application now, but we can, positive and negatively, can be hurt and detriment to the ministry. And so Paul here is, and you can pray for me on that I would not care so much about what people think, because there's going to be people all over that think all kinds of things. But Paul here says that his thoughts about their judgment didn't matter much to him. That's what Paul's saying to the congregation. He's saying, listen, it's a small thing. Now, when we look at this, this word judgment, now that's an interesting word, because we know in other passages of Scripture it talks about judging, and we're not going to go to another passage that talks about judging. What does he mean? It's a small thing that he should be judged of the congregation. The word judgment or judge is investigation. It's questioning. It's evaluation. Now, let's come at it from your perspective. And we've all been where you're at. Let's be very honest. Isn't it normal and easy for us to investigate the preacher or the pastor? Isn't it normal and we're bent towards what was another word? Towards questioning, like, why did he do that? What's he thinking with, why aren't we doing this? And, you know, again, investigation, questioning, evaluation. Think of what an evaluation is. A checklist maybe of expectations that you might have of what this leader ought to do and what he ought not to do. Isn't it natural for us to evaluate people? It's normal for us to evaluate very specifically a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary. It's very normal for us to evaluate them. And I would say that, wrongly so, I have evaluated pastors before. Marked down the things that I didn't like that he did and questioned why he didn't do this. And, well, if I ever was a pastor of a church, well, I would do it this way and I certainly wouldn't do it that way. Now, there's liberty for us to do what God wants us to do. But it's very easy for us to fall into this judgment of people and why. Now, back to Paul's perspective. So it's easy for us to do, isn't it? I'm joining you, okay? I've been right where you're at, and I've been there. And it's very easy for us to evaluate and to judge and make some judgment decisions. Well, I believe that he's then to this, and he's not strong enough in this. And we make some judgments. Now back to Paul's side. He says, it's a little thing for me that you judge me. It's not a big deal to me. And I look at that and I marvel and I say, are you serious? Because honestly, let me go back to myself again. You need to pray for me, because that would be one of my weaknesses. I would submit to you that's a weakness of mine. I care a lot about what people think. And a lot of times, it's not so much that I want to be like the hero of the day. A lot of times, you know, it's, you know, I'm scared that you're thinking of me, you know, that I'm not doing right, and I'm not doing my job, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that. And I can be oversensitive that way, you know, on your judgment of me. And I can, you just ask my wife, it doesn't take much of somebody saying something to me, and I go home hurt. I go home discouraged and crushed sometimes in this, because I care too much. And I admire Paul, you know. And honestly, this week when I was studying this, it really, like, shook me a little bit. Paul says, it's not a big deal to me. And I don't think Paul was saying it in a proud way, like, Talk what you want. Say what you want. I don't think Paul was like tough-nosed and tough-skinned, you know, that says, bring it on. I honestly think this, I think Paul had a spiritual element to him that says he's learned it's not about what man thinks. Now, let's look a little bit closer at this. So you understand what judgment is. This judgment was, you know, the people investigating. You know, when I think of investigating, I'm thinking of a, you know, what are those? A magnifying glass, all right? I'm thinking of somebody that's putting somebody else under a magnifying glass, and you know, they're normally this big, and then they go, and all of a sudden they got this big, okay? Now, I hope you don't do that to me, all right? I'm already big enough, but... Don't put me under a magnifying glass. But what we're talking about here is the problems and the things, you know, the ways. Honestly, I guarantee there's a hundred better ways to do things than what I do. We're all people, right? And everybody, we can. Why did you know? Sometimes I say, why did I do that? Why did I say that? You know, this morning I'll confess to you, I made a mistake because you know me better. I made a mistake when we were back there, and I said, I'm going to preach a short message this morning. I knew as soon as I said it, you just killed yourself there. Because you know better, you know you never preach a short message, okay? And so this morning, I did my best. I tried. I had the guys pray for me. Please pray that I can do. But I tried to get that gospel in, and I like, you know, we're still up to the time. I honestly would have cared. I would have liked to have been out early. But I make a lot of mistakes. And I know different from anybody else. We all make mistakes. But it's very easy to investigate and to scrutinize and to say, you know, he's too short, he's too long. It's amazing. A preacher that comes in and preaches really short, he's too short. A preacher that preaches long, he's too long. A preacher that preaches too serious is too serious. A preacher that preaches too funny is too funny. That's what we're talking about here, the investigation, the judgment, the measuring up. And Paul says it's a little deal. Now, both positively and negatively. So, but I want you to see just a couple things. First of all, did you notice that he didn't say, it's kind of like bodily exercise profiteth. You remember what Paul said? Bodily exercise profiteth little. That's the same point that I want to make here. First of all, it did matter little, though. Paul did not say, physical exercise is for the birds. Don't ever do it. He says, there's just not a lot to it. There's just, but there is a little bit. And I don't care how spiritual I am or you are, I want to tell you something. It does matter a little about positive and negative judgment. And in fact, it's a spiritual person that says that it matters little because for some of us, it's a big deal the way people judge us. And the way people scrutinize us and look at us and how we're doing what we're doing. And I want to tell you something. We need to be so very careful at our judgment on people of why they're doing it. When we do that, we're saying that we know better than they do. And I'm preaching it myself because it's so easy to do. The Madrids have their way of doing things, and the Brubakers have their way of doing things, and the Millers have their way of doing things, and everybody has their way of doing things. And it's so easy to look. What are they doing? Why are they doing that? Don't they know? We've got to be so careful. He says it's little, but it does matter. And let's think about that just for a moment. Let's think of this. What about praise? Now, see, you have been thinking so far about the critiquing, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But does it matter when people praise us? Think about it. Does it matter when people praise us? It does. It makes a big difference, and it's not all bad. You know what? It's an encouragement when people praise. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't like somebody to say, well, you know, I was proud of you. You did a wonderful job. You know, we don't get upset at them and say, what are you talking about? I don't like praise. You know, that's not, we like that. You know, you do something and you produce something and you make something and it's nice. You know, I mean, you praise people and it's a good thing. Praise can be a blessing. Can praise be hurtful in a certain way? Now, when I say can praise be hurtful, I'm not talking about from your, we've got to be careful to give God honor and glory. Let's really put it in the perspective of what Paul is talking about here. Could it be dangerous for a pastor to get a lot of praise? That's what we're getting at here. Yes. It's so, you know what? It's so dangerous for a pastor to get a lot of praise because you can start to think that what's going on is your doing. And of course, we understand that that's a dangerous place to be in. Whose doing is it? It's God's doing. We don't sit here after this morning and say, boy, we really put together a good service today. We really did this, and boy, we've got to be so careful. Praise to mankind can be dangerous. And Paul says that it's little, but I want to tell you, Paul probably needed encouragement sometimes. We'll get to the other side of it where it can be detrimental, but Paul needed encouragement. Praise the Lord, Paul. You know what? An encouraging word to somebody when they're doing certain things can help them to move on. You might not even know that might have been the last ministry that they ever did. And if nobody says anything, they're about done. I want to tell you, it's important to give people praise. You know, thank them for what they're doing. Never let us be a people that stops bringing just trying to share with people that we appreciate what they do. Thank you for that. Again, a side note. It's an amazing thing. You know, one of you might on a Sunday morning tell me something and it would just, you might have no clue, but I might be down in the dumps about something. And your little word of encouragement, Pastor, I needed that, will change my day. Some of you have written notes to me, a little note on a piece of paper, that on maybe the worst day of ministry that I ever had in this church, you know, maybe there were problems left and right, to go home and read a thing that says, Pastor, thank you. Means the world. Means the world. Now, we're not talking about just Pastor here. I'm talking about amongst each other. It's not about me. It's talking about each other. Little, it means little. It is important to praise. It's important to thank. It's important to acknowledge people. It's important to just make sure that we're aware of each other and all the contributions that each one is making. Let's not overlook each other. Let's make sure on a normal basis we're thanking people. Praise might be the wrong word because we want ultimately God gets all the praise. We're not trying to praise men, but we can be very thankful people and acknowledging what people do and how they serve and acknowledging a smile somebody has, acknowledging that just thank you for always being here. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you. Whatever it is, it does mean something to people. Now, on the opposite side of things, what about critiquing? Can that mean something small to people? Oof. And I hesitate to say small because a lot of times it's big. But have you ever been critiqued or scrutinized and looked at, and by the way, you've done something, and you know how you feel, right? It's discouraging. It's hard. Listen, this is humanity. I don't care who you are, and I don't care how nice the person tells you. Nobody likes to be told something that they're not doing very good, right? I mean, it's hard. Now, it doesn't mean, by the way, if somebody tells you something in a very gentle way, they try to, and say, listen, I'm not trying to whatever, I'm just telling you this. You know what? No matter how they tell you, it's hard to receive it, but yet it is godly to receive it in the right way. We're not making excuses about people hurting you and say, oh, they shouldn't do it. Listen, you've got to take it right. When somebody says something, suggests something, and tries to encourage you in the right way, it's easy, though, for mankind to go and to crawl in a hole and to feel sorry for himself. And by the way, let me put a plug in there. You better be careful what you say. Because it's hard for people to take it. And I don't care who you are, it's hard for people to tell you what you're not doing right. I have watched people receive critique from other people, and maybe a smile comes on their face, and you think that they were all right, but I've been there before, and I've been the one smiling, and yet it still hurts. When you think you're doing right, have you ever done something you thought that you were going to be a hero, and then somebody came along and they critiqued you, and it took away everything that you did, and you were struggling? Folks, I want to tell you, you don't know how big your tongue is. James teaches about that, doesn't he? And James, it is such a little element that can be such a big fire. I want to encourage you, it would be better for you to keep your mouth zipped than to let out a little something that may be truth about somebody that will be a discouragement to them. Because although Paul, in his, wow, he's my hero in this area, it's amazing that he said it doesn't matter much, but it still matters. I want to encourage you, people, is everybody listening? Be so careful what you say and how you say it, and make sure that it is wrapped in God's love, your love, and make sure that you've prayed about it. Make sure that you're so careful. Make sure that you're encouraging with it. Make sure that you're, because it hurts people. Talk about something that will divide up a church is somebody that's just going to blast out of their mouth about you and what you say, and maybe that person is even meaning it well. But I tell you what, that person might not be so tough-skinned like you, and they might be home crying. I'm being serious about that. People get hurt all the time. Be careful. Be careful about your critique of other people. We need to support other people in the way. It doesn't matter, honestly. And most of the things that we critique people in don't matter. Honestly, a lot of it doesn't even matter. Why does she wear that? Who cares? You got your choice to wear what you want to wear. So first of all, just understand that it does matter little. But if I could say it very simply on the next point, but it shouldn't matter much. Okay? I just built a big thing. Now, it's a big deal, even though it's supposed to be little. But let's just say this. It shouldn't matter much to you what people think. Now, Paul is not saying it's not good to be a good testimony here. In fact, in other places of the Scripture, it says that we need to become the gospel of Christ, right? We are living temples of the Lord. And how the world will view us has a lot to do with what we are. So testimony, he's not making little, Paul is not saying, I don't care what I do, and you ought not care what I don't care what you think of me, and I'm just going to be who I am no matter what. That would be taking this out way out of context. That is not what Paul is saying, that testimony doesn't matter. In fact, it matters much. And I've been talking with Pastor Dan about this, and some of you, I want us to get this philosophy. Everybody listen to this. Why do we do what we did this morning? Why did we try to produce a big deal for the people that came in? You say, and by the way, I think we had about 8 to 10 guests this morning come. Not all for the meal and not all stayed, but pretty much. But we had about 10 guests this morning that came into our service today. And breakfast and service, about 10 people. And we care very much about what they think of this place. We do. And one of the things that we ought to adopt as a philosophy in this place is that what we do, we need to do well. We ought to do it our best of our ability. Now, that doesn't mean perfect. What it means is we need to do it the best of our ability. We need to try to do it. Because remember the message that I preached on Solomon and the Queen of Sheba that came? Remember that? We are a picture of Christ. And we need to present a good picture. You say, that has nothing to do with biscuits and gravy. Not necessarily biscuits and gravy, but I'll tell you something. What we do here at this church, you know, people are going to say, wow. I believe that people can go out and say, boy, they really put out a spread. They really did it well. Or they can look and say, what was that? That youth pastor or that assistant pastor, that pastor of evangelism told us it was going to be a mini Shady Maple in Mount Joy. That was nothing like that. You know, You see, we want to do our best. We want to do our best. And so when we, Paul is not saying that I don't care, I'm going to be what I am. I don't care that I look like a detriment. I don't care that I act like a detriment. That is not what Paul is saying. Paul is talking about as other people were critical or praised him, he said, I am not going to let that be a big deal in my life of what I do for the Lord. There's the key. So as we look at this, we look and say, okay, but it shouldn't matter much. It shouldn't matter much about people's praise. Let's look at the positive first. Honestly, as a preacher up here, as a pastor, I should not be so affected by all the praise that comes. Because what will happen is we can quickly get a big head about a lot of things when people walk through and say, boy, that was a blessing, that was a blessing, that was a blessing. And you walk out thinking, I was a blessing today. And we're missing the boat. We're missing the mark. Praise shouldn't, you know, we've got to be careful that that doesn't matter much to us. You know what? If everybody tonight walked out and everybody said, Pastor, you really did an amazing job tonight, and you're amazing, you're just the greatest pastor, and if I do that, and if I didn't do what God asked me to do, then I failed. Did you catch that? Everybody could think that whoever it is, now forget me, whoever it is, everybody can think that you're the greatest neighbor, you're the greatest boss, you're the greatest whatever. Everybody can think you're the greatest servant and praise you and look at that lady. Boy, she just does all this stuff and she just knows how to get it done. And you can go all through that, but if you didn't do what God asked you to do, then it matters nothing. And that's what Paul is saying. Says, you know, in a positive judgment, he said, you know what, you guys judge me, you critique me, but in the praise that you give me, it doesn't really matter much, because what he's about to say is, I'm judged of God, and that's who I care about. We can, and a lot of people have gotten a lot of praise of man and have missed the boat in their ministry. And I could say that I don't think that God was praised because of what this man was doing in that ministry. But a lot of people followed him. There are a lot of people out there that you can turn your television to and you can see a lot of praise by a lot of people. And they're all, yeah, this guy's the greatest person. I'll tell you what, I don't believe that they're going to get God's hand on their backs. You see, Paul is saying, it ought not matter. It ought not affect us too much when people give us praise. Now, again, don't take it the wrong way. It is a blessing when a guest comes in and somebody says, wow, you know what, I really, you know, one of the guests today, you know, really said something, boy, I really like that pastor and he was just wonderful and everything. When I hear that, I say, uh-oh, because those are usually the people that get mad at me, honestly. That scares me a little bit. Honestly, our opinion, we don't want people following and worshiping men. Do you catch that? What we want is to provide an atmosphere where we give the truth. People come in here and say, God is good. Jesus, He rose from the dead. So that I can have victory over Satan, that I can have personal victory over sin, that I can have victory over death. That's what we want people to walk out of. Not wow, that was a great pastor. Now, again, no offense to anybody that says that. You know, I understand what they're talking about. But we want to funnel that and channel that to the Lord. Because it can be a detriment to any one of us. And forget now me, for you. Whatever position you're in, that can be a dangerous position. We're not trying to get man's praise. And it shouldn't mean much. If everybody goes out tonight and maybe you made the best breakfast bacon this morning than anybody else. I don't know that many people made it, but there was a lot of it. But it doesn't matter what you made. Listen, when we start thinking, when we start accepting that praise for ourselves, it can be a dangerous thing. And Paul says, I don't want any part of that. That's really what Paul's saying here. I don't want any part of that. It's not a big deal to me. In fact, you can almost read into Paul saying, I don't want it. I don't want all that praise. In fact, isn't that what Paul has been saying for the first three chapters? That is not where we're at. It's not about us. It's not about us in this ministry. It's about Him. But let's look at the opposite side of that. It shouldn't matter much about their critique either. And honestly, this is what you need to pray for me. You need to pray, and we need to pray. It shouldn't matter much when somebody says something that's a little critical, or we could have done this better, or we should have said this, or we should have said that, and I'm sorry I didn't do that. You know, when all that comes, you know what? We ought to step back and say, you know what? I ought to do a better job at that, but we ought not get hurt. We ought not be defeated. We ought not be discouraged about it, because we take it from the Lord, and we ought not. What matters is, did I do what God wanted me to do? Now, if I didn't do what God wanted me to do, or I should do better in that, then you know what? All I have to do, I don't have to cry at my bed. All I have to do is say, God, would you forgive me? I need to do a better job at that. And I need to see to it that I do right. Because what matters is that I please the Lord. Don't take offense, but it doesn't matter that I please you as your pastor. I am ultimately responsible to please God and to please the Lord. That is my job, is to please the Lord. And that's what, as soon as I start trying to please you, I ought to be done here. By the way, that's impossible. Not that you're such a cranky group. It's impossible to please everybody. Have you figured that out? It is impossible to please everybody, because somebody wants it this way, and somebody wants it that way, and somebody wants it this way, and you can't do that. I just have to say, well, we try to do what God wanted us to do. And my friends, can I tell you, that is what we try to do. I fail, but that's what we try to do. But that's what you ought to try to do, is please the Lord. When we notice that we didn't do something that we ought to have done, I should have prayed more about that. You ever got there before? I have. I should have prayed more. I should have done this better. I should have spent more time in this. When we do, God wants us to confess our sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and go and on Monday do right. But we ought not care so much about what people think of us. That's easier said than done. But it's still the truth. For all of you people out there that are sensitive, care about God more than people. You do right, and that's what matters. You just do right. Just do right. So it does matter little, but it shouldn't matter much. Lastly, we must be careful at even judging our own selves. Did you catch what Paul says here? I mean, he says, yea, right at the end of verse 3, he says, yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Now, so far this evening we've looked at, it is a little thing that we judge, how we judge other people. But it not be too big as people judge us, positively and negatively. But he concludes also with this. He says, in my words, practically, I'm even careful not to judge myself. Is it easy to have a wrong perspective of our own selves? Positively and negatively. Sometimes we can get to thinking, wow, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, and you can think, I did a really good job. I did great. I did this. I did that. And we can bring praise, honestly, where God deserves the praise. And we've got to be very careful. Sometimes we, and maybe it's comparing ourselves with other people. No one came close. The amount of visitors that I brought today. No one came close. I invited way more people. Nobody came close to my casserole. Nobody. And I'm just making up a bunch of stuff. No. And we start to compare ourselves with other people. We start to do this. And in our own minds, we positively judge ourselves. And my friends, Paul says, that's dangerous. He says, I'm not going to take too big of a deal about what other people think of me, and I'm not going to take too big of a deal about what I think of myself. Because honestly, folks, we can misjudge ourselves very easily and think we're better than what we are. How many times has a pastor thought that he was the Savior to his people, and when he left, the church was going to go downhill, and it grew? Happened to me. Now, I didn't think I was the Savior in Anthony Baptist Church. I was there, but I'll tell you something. I left, the church grew. I'll tell you what, it's taken years. Ask my wife. It's taken years for me. I struggle with that. But folks, it has nothing to do with me, and it has nothing to do with that other pastor. It has everything to do with a good God. That is the truth. It has nothing to do with us. This is God's ministry. So you're in the nursery. It's God's ministry. So you're on lockup duty. It's God's ministry. So you make the best whatever back there in the kitchen. It's God's ministry. So we preach a message, and it's God's ministry. It doesn't matter what we do. It's God's. Whether you're up here with a violin or playing a whatever, it's God's ministry. And we need to be careful. Everybody listening, you need to be so careful at thinking, my own judgment of myself is, this church needs me. Be careful. Paul says, I don't do that. Negatively. Negative judgment towards ourselves. You say, well, nobody does that. Sometimes we make ourselves look better than what we are. Now, I got to be careful in how I say this, because we're all bad. But there are some people in the room that have a tendency to make them worse than what they are. In other words, what's the true assessment of who we are? We look at Christ because He is who we are in spite of ourselves. My friend, what I'm saying at this, and I might not be speaking to the whole crowd tonight when I say this, but there are some people in here that are very critical of their own selves, and they don't think they can do anything right. And they're defeated all the time. And they're always very self-conscious about what other people think. And they can't do this. And we think, oh, I blew that and blew this. And sometimes somebody needs to come alongside. Would you put your eyes on Christ and stop looking at yourself and what you can't do and what you failed at doing? And sometimes you realize, and I know some of you might think this is twisted, but that can be a twisted form of pride in its own way. Because you are so down on yourself that you can't look at a good God that has turned you around. And we need to give God honor and glory for everything that He's done. So you boshed that, and so you messed up on your casserole this morning. It doesn't matter, because it's Him. It doesn't matter. It's Him. You know what? And we've got to think through this, okay? We just launched an orchestra here that I'm excited about. And we had a decision to make. Are we going to play this on Sunday morning or are we not? Because I know it was ground roots. It didn't sound like, you know, some big place that had everything going. But, you know, at a certain point of time, we got to start something. And this God is going to bring God honor and glory. And if we're so careful about what other people are going to think of me, and boy, we're not the greatest, then we'll never do anything. Are we doing our best with what we've had so far? And I would say we are. It doesn't mean that this is where we stay. We're going to shoot for the best and we're going to go. But we've got to be careful. If we are so down on ourselves, then God never gets any glory. Now, I'm not trying to promote us that we're any bigger. I'm just saying, Paul's assessment at the end of this is what? It goes back to who? All that matters is God. God, it's not us. Are you getting it tonight? It's God. It's not us. So about judgment of other people, I wish I could be like Paul and say, doesn't matter what you think of me. Does matter a little bit for all of us, because we're humans, right? We're humans. Be careful on your judgment, praise or critique of other people. Be careful, because it does matter a little bit. But as far as receiving it, it shouldn't matter a whole lot. Praise or critique, it shouldn't matter a whole lot, because it can be false, it can be wrong. Even of our own selves, we've got to be careful. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on the faithful one, and we just need to be faithful to Him. That's the end. We've got to be faithful to Him, because He's the judge. Are you pleasing God? If you are, praise the Lord. Don't matter what other people think. The moment, listen to this, Paul is confronting division in the church. The moment that people get their eyes off of Christ, and get their eyes on this level and looking at other people, and right here, introspection, I don't know what the word is for looking out, outspection, whatever it is, when we start being that way, then we are going to have the vision. Because this is our judge right here. All of a sudden, we're judges of ourselves when God says He's the judge. Did you catch that? So be careful of outerspection and be careful of introspection. Be careful of it because God's the judge. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit do His work in your life. Not you doing your work, not other people doing your work, but let God do His work in your life. And that's all that matters. Lord, would you help us? Help me. I needed this message just as much as anybody in this room. God, help us. Help us. Help us to be careful what we're saying of other people and our judgment of other people. Yet, Lord, help us to be very careful of others' judgment, positive or negative, in our lives. May we strive to please you. You are our judge. God, help us. Help us. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our